Yes, hallelujah. I love that song. I heard somebody singing it on TV or radio the other day. I said, they're not doing it right. I said, right there is where you're supposed to say, hallelujah. And they let that out. Glory to God. Well, I was going to mention it during the announcements, but when you get your newsletter, check that calendar, and one thing you can keep up with is who's having birthdays. And if your name doesn't appear, it's because Pastor Donna doesn't have your name in the computer. So for anniversaries, birthdays, if we don't have the information, then you get that to her, and you know, maybe somebody will give you something on your birthday. Who knows? But we had a bunch of them. Boy, we had a bunch of them here in the last couple of days. Brenda Burgess was the 16th, and then Friday was Barbara Weatherly. She's one of our head prayer warriors. Janie Cannon, she's been over our children's church for years. And Kelly Hamill, he's our head usher. Then yesterday, my daughter Leslie right here had a birthday. Now, her and Kelly turned over one of them. We've got zeros on the end of it. But it wasn't the same one, same number. But we wish all of you blessings and happy birthday, right? All right, we've been talking for some weeks about going for the gold. You know, it's time when Olympics are beginning to be on folks' minds. And if you'll, let's go to a scripture we've looked at several times in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 as we begin. Now, when I've been teaching, I think this is the fifth week in this, and when I'm teaching about going for the gold, if you're one of them folks, I like folks that sang that song and said, it's my desire to live for Jesus and be just like him. If you're one of them folks that all you want is for me not to pester you so you can just do pretty good and sneak in the back door of heaven and barely make it by the skin of your teeth, well, I'll just apologize to you, but I'm talking to them folks that want to be winners. So we don't mind if y'all, the rest of you, just sit in here and listen. But, you know, if it's not for you, say, no, I'm not interested in winning. I just want to slide by, you know. I don't care nothing about being healed and blessed and prosperous and all that. I just want to sneak into heaven. Well, come on and enjoy the worship service anyway, and then you can just kind of let this slide right off you like water off a duck's back. But I don't think we have anybody like that. I was just kind of picking at you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, And in the 24th verse, it says, no, Paul's writing, and he says, know ye not, that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And so he's telling us, if you're going to do it, go for the goal, man. Run that you win. He said, everybody's running, but one's going to win. Well, now, thank God in this run that we're in the Christian life, we can all be winners. And because you're not running, we're not competing against each other. We're just competing against the devil. All you have to do is outrun him. And it says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So my title this morning is The Price of Victory. Paul is showing us here, if you're going to run to win, that you're going to have to be willing to pay the price to do it. You know, casual folks in any area of life, in business, if you're just casual about your job, if you're just casual about it, if you just say, well, this is good enough, why try? I mean, I'll just goof off, and as long as they don't fire me, everything's okay. You're not going to excel. Anything you do, you have to be willing to pay the price, and that means putting effort into it. So I mean, just find out, how many here want to win this morning? Anybody? Amen. All right, you can put your hand down. He talked down here. Paul said, lest I myself should be a castaway. Anybody want to be a castaway? Castaway is like, and so, you know, then the question we need to ask ourselves if we want to be winners is, are we willing to pay the price? I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians in chapter 4. And I'm going to read this. It should probably sound familiar to many of you, but to start out with, I'll read you verse 8. And it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And then verse 9 and 10 is a parenthetical statement. You'll notice it starts and ends with a parenthesis. So this is just a little side thought Paul had. So we're just going to skip over it right now and go down to verse 11. End of verse 8, he gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that'll be enough for the moment to read. But notice he gave gifts, and then it begins to talk about gifts that he gave in verse 11. And now the punctuation helps you here, because when you see a comma, you take a breath, and when you see a semicolon, which there's several of those in there, just pause for a minute. If you want to know how to read this, he gave some apostles. He said he gave gifts to men. God sends gifts to people. The gift that he sent to some was apostles. All right? Of course, that doesn't mean we can't all experience these at various times. And another gift he sent was some prophets. And another gift he sent was some evangelists. And another gift he sent was some pastors and teachers. Notice that's one. Because you got... He gave some apostles, semicolon, some prophets, semicolon, some evangelists, semicolon, and some pastors and teachers without any punctuation between the two of them. And of course, the Bible says that it gives some qualifications about a bishop or an overseer or a pastor's role. And one thing it says is you have to be apt to teach. And I thank God that we've been blessed over the years here. You might think Brother Robbins wasn't a teacher. Most of what I learned from him. He's a teacher. You know, whatever your style is, what'll do you some good is the Word of God you get in your heart. No matter what your style is, getting the Word of God and how it works put in your heart is what will do you some good. And it says, of course, in verse 12, it's for the perfecting of the saints. Well, if we knew what that word perfect means, you'd probably like to, some of you, scratch that out of your Bible too and say, I'll just take that word out. I'll get my little pocket knife here, my little Swiss Army knife, just cut that word perfected. Perfecting out, and then I'll go cut out all this other stuff I don't like in the Bible, and then I will have a holy Bible. And I think that's what some folks think a holy Bible is. That's when they've cut out all the parts they don't like. But it says the reason God gave you me and whatever other ministry gifts he sends along here is to perfect you. And that word perfect, it has to do with maturity, but it means that word, and if you check it in the Greek, it means to be full grown. It means completely fulfilling God's purpose in your life. So I will warn you this morning, I ain't getting off your case till we all get there. Okay? Now let me give you, we're talking about going for the gold, and I've been using illustrations from the sporting side of things. You know, football and automobile racing and so forth, talking about running to win. Let me give you my paraphrase out of the PJV, Pastor Jim version, of Ephesians 4 and 11. Ephesians 4 and 11 says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Here's the paraphrase. Think about a football team. Think about an NFL football team. And the owner gave some general managers and some directors of personnel and some scouts and some coaches and trainers to get the team ready to win. All right? That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's about. When we sign up in this outfit here, I'm not just talking about a local church, but when you sign up as a Christian, that's what it's about, is then you begin this trek through life, and we're supposed to be learning all the way. Paul the Apostle said, I do not consider myself, this is the man that wrote 2/3 of your New Testament, I do not consider myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I know, I'm forgetting what's behind and I'm pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? If Paul didn't have it all together, I promise you I don't either. And there's a good chance you don't. So we all have to have our hearts and our minds open and have a teachable spirit and be ready to see how God's trying to shape us and mold us and use us. I've had to change all through my life. I change every day. And These offices that are mentioned here in Ephesians 4 and 11, the apostle. An apostle is a sent one. Apostolos, the Greek word, means a sent one. And so the apostle is somebody that is sent to build churches, start churches, or to start the team. and the prophet. What's the prophet's role? I just said he passes to the team the word from headquarters. Whatever the boss says, he lets the team know. And sometimes it might be the office of a prophet, but anybody can be a prophet. I tell you what, I've had people prophesying to me the last couple of days. I've had just folks come up and say, I got something to tell you, all right? And then we have the evangelist. What's the evangelist in the sporting world? That's the scout, the talent scout. He's out trying to recruit new players, okay? And you just think about what an evangelist does. He's recruiting players. But you know, maybe it'll help you to understand something here. If you understand that the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And it's that way when a football team, a scout can go out here, the scouting out talent, whatever his title is, and he can bring in all kind of guys and say, you know what, I think this here is willing to play for us and so forth. Some of them don't work out. And there's a lot of folks that get emotional in an evangelistic service and pray a prayer that don't ever work out. Well, does that mean we're going to quit doing it? No, man. We're not going to quit because we need them players. And if we recruit 100 and keep 20 good ones, that's a pretty good deal. But thank God we'll keep praying for the 80 that didn't make it and let somebody else get them again on down the road when they're ready to really sell out and serve God, right? A lot of people come to an altar and regret. No, you have to come to an altar and repent. You have to come to an altar with a broken heart that I can no longer dishonor God by living the sorry life I've been living. And I am a sinner, and my only hope is somebody's got to save me. I can't do it myself. And I'll tell you what, he already did. His name's Jesus. He paid the price, right? And so when you come to acknowledge that and receive him, and it requires humility. Well, then I think folks, when they have that kind of experience, then they're ready to sign up and go on with the team. Now, let's see, I didn't get to the pastor teacher. Now, the role of the pastor teacher is to tend the flock. The word for pastor in the New Testament is the exact same word for shepherd. In fact, it's translated pastor a couple of times, but the word really meant a shepherd. And it's to tend the flock or tend the team. The role of the pastor teacher, I'm including that as one office, is to inspire. What does inspire mean? It means to build confidence. I'll give you an example in a minute. The role of the pastor teacher is to, guess what? Teach. All right? And so, in other words, we're talking about, who we talking about here, pastor teacher? We're talking about the coach. Right? And note, I pointed out that this is one office. Now, if you're going to pray, the title of this message is The Price of Victory. And some things you're going to have to develop, I'll just give you a little clue before we get to them, is the coach's job is to develop in the team right attitude. I'm not just talking about where you're nice to people. I'm talking about a winning attitude. And also aptitude. Attitude and aptitude. Well, why do I need aptitude if my attitude's right? There's a lot of people got a winning attitude that's going to lose because they don't know what they're doing. You can take some guy. I mean, I could go out over here I could go up here and sign up for the Panthers if I didn't have any sense, and they'd take me, and they didn't have any sense either. And I could try to do like I did in high school. I was an offensive lineman and weighed 155 pounds, and I got hurt a lot. And I could go try that with the Panthers, but I had a good attitude. But honey, I didn't have enough beef. The coach told me I tried harder than anybody on the team, but I just didn't have enough beef to hit them with. And so you not only have to have an attitude, you got to have the stuff, right? And part of that is knowledge, and part of that is just being equipped. And so I tell you, I'll inspire you this morning. I'll tell you, this church right here, as your coach, I believe in you. I believe you're a winner. I believe you can make it. I believe that we can take the goal. We can be champions. Anybody happen to agree with me? All right, good. See, that's what we need in a good locker room talk, is we need not just a coach talking, but we need to hear. You know, if the coach can get up there and tell these guys how great they are, men, we're going to win this game. And when he gets through, if they all sit there and go, well, maybe, he ain't done much. So we can be champions. We can be winners. We can take the goal. But I tell you, first, we have to learn some things. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. All right. One reason it's so important to me is because until I was 40 years old, I thoroughly loved God, faithful to church, went every time they had service, sang in the choir, taught Sunday school, served on the board. But because I did not know anything about the Word of God, I lived a defeated life. And then, thank God, I got a hold of some revelation and my heart got open to God's Word and I got a hunger for it. And since then, now, is everything perfect? No, but I'm like Paul. I'm still on the way. I'm still working on me, just like God's still working on me, right? And so there's some things we're going to have to learn. And I said the first thing has to do with attitude. We need to learn something about attitude. Winning athletes have to reach down on the inside of themselves and pull up what it takes to win. I think I saw an astronaut movie here the other day. But, you know, our first astronauts called it having the right stuff. They had the right stuff. There's a movie about them by that name, The Right Stuff. And I'll tell you what else. If you're going to have that winning attitude, you have to give it all you have. You can't be lackadaisical about it. You have to play through the pain. That not only includes when somebody hurts your hand and your head, it even includes when somebody hurts your feelings. You have to play through the pain. Don't wimp out. We used to say in the Navy, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? And then I have a pastor friend that preached a message the other Sunday morning, and he got it off of the church billboard of another friend of mine. And what the message was and what the message on the board out there was, you are the light of the world. So quit whining and start shining. You, the light of the world, so quit whining and start shining. I might even have to preach that one day. Who knows? Might preach it to myself every once in a while. One reason I preach some of these messages is so I can get the tape and play them back to myself when I need to hear them. Right? Now, you have to have a winning attitude. I'm still talking about attitude. You have to have a winning attitude and be unwilling to settle for anything less than total victory. Do you want to win? That's pretty good, team. Try that again. Do you want to win?
Yeah.
Do you want to win?
Yeah.
All right, that's the attitude. That sounds like the right attitude to me. Somebody told me the other day, I called one of our members on the telephone. And, I'll just tell you, it was Sister Mary back there in the back. We got Mary Boss, Mary Cobb, and Marlene sitting there in a row. And I went back a while ago and I says to the two Marys, I said, well, here's Mary. Mary, where's Quite Contrary? And they all pointed at Marlene. All right? But, you know, I called and she said, I was out on the porch praying. Her son went and got her and got her to the phone. I was out on the porch praying. She said, you know what the Lord was saying to me? You don't mind if I tell this, do you, Mary? You know what the Lord was saying to me? She said, the Lord was saying to me as I was out there praying that we have people in our church that don't want to be whole, and therefore they resist the Word of God. She said, Brother Jim, I want to be whole. And said, when you step on my feet, I praise God for it, because I want to change what I need to change in my life, and I want to be whole. Amen. Well, you might think, well, dear Lord, everybody wants to be whole. Well, let's look at a Bible example here. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5, right quick, if you will. John chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and at the beginning at the 5th verse. And it says, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This guy had something wrong with him for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie. Now, lie is that means he was in a lying position. It's a verb, but it don't have much action in it. They tell me a verb is an action word. I tell you, when you just laying there, honey, there ain't much action going on. And Jesus, that's the position Jesus saw him in, just lying there, laying there. And Jesus, verse 6, when he saw him lie, and he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto the man, to him, wilt thou be whole? And now a while ago when I asked y'all how many wanted to win, about four or five people said, yeah. And then I got your attention. And I said, now how many want to win? Yes. Well, how many want to win? Yes. Getting a little attitude here, right? Jesus asked this man, do you want to be whole? You would think a man that had been sick, crippled for 38 years would have said, yes, praise God, I want to be whole. Well, what did this guy say? He said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. You know what he said? He said, well, kind of, but it's too hard. Won't nobody do it for me. Won't nobody help me. And, you know, I found out if you won't help, you're going to have to help yourself. And there's a clue here in the fact that it says, this man was not totally crippled. Because it says, but while I am coming. And so he had the ability. Now, he might have had some problems. But he had the ability to get up and move toward the water. It wasn't like he was totally paralyzed and couldn't do nothing. But he'd been lying there for 38 years, lying, laying. It says lie in the Bible, so I'll just stick with that. He had been in that situation for 38 years. He had a can't get better attitude. See, we still attitude here. His attitude was, I can't win. And if somebody would just do something. And you know, there's a lot of Christians that's in a situation and they've got a can't get better attitude and can't win attitude, and they're thinking, well, if I know God will probably trouble the waters, but somebody else will probably get blessed before I do and get my blessing. Well, what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said in verse 8, he said, well, you poor feller, I don't blame you. If I was you, I tell you, if I was you, I'd just really be upset about everybody. Nobody will help you. And I feel sorry for you. I got pity on you. I got mercy on you. But it just must be God's will for you to be like this. You know I'm making up scripture there, and I wouldn't do it if I wasn't going to straighten it out. What did Jesus say to him? Has a man been 38 years? Now, he was able to walk some because he said, when I'm coming, somebody gets ahead of me. Jesus said to that man, rise, take up your bed and walk. 38 years, been crippled. And immediately, the man was made whole. Jesus inspired him. Immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, there's another problem, because the Sabbath day, the religious law said you ain't supposed to walk, carry your bed especially. But when he heard from the Lord, when he heard from the Lord, and the Lord says, you know what you're going to have to do? If you want to get healed, you're going to have to take some action. You're going to have to do something. And so, you need to get your attitude. Verse 10, I won't have time to get into this situation, but you know it says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. You always got critics. When you're trying to do what God said, you've always got critics. Well, just go and do what God said, right? And what he said, outdo tradition every time. And so, attitude's important, but I said the other thing, and I'll get to it quickly, it won't take me long, is about this business about aptitude. The other thing we need is aptitude. And aptitude, I looked it up in the dictionary, it says fitness, intelligence, readiness to learn, either natural or acquired. All these things. And fitness, intelligence, readiness to learn can either be natural or acquired. Some people are naturally born fit. Now, they still have to maintain it. But others are just naturally not born that way. I'm talking about fit for certain things, like fit, you know, to run a foot race. Some guys are just born fast. They must come out of the womb fast. And then others of us, we're not gifted that way, all right? But you know what? You can do a lot to help yourself. You can acquire fitness. You might never get to where you're running with these guys running in the Olympics and all that stuff, but I'll tell you, you can greatly improve your situation by putting a little bit of effort into it. And so what aptitude is all about, fitness, intelligence, readiness to learn, it means get in shape and learn what you need to know. See, we got the attitude already. We got us a winning attitude. Now, you know, if you want to win, you know what you have to do? Get in shape and learn what you need to know. When you join a sports team, It's great that you got a good attitude, honey, but do you know how to play the position? Are you in shape? Can you run? Can you make it from home? If you hit the ball, can you make it from home to first base without fainting? If not, you need to get in shape. Are you not much good to us? All right? Now, I got one more scripture. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I won't be long in it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. What I read over there, the folks said, it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to carry your bed. Now, for the benefit of those of you who are maybe here for the first time, see, that was just some of their tradition. If you thought there was a scripture in the Bible that said, it's the Sabbath day. Well, I can't say it now. That's the way they escape. They got good reasons. I know what they're up to. I was about to say, it's the Sabbath day and it's 12 o'clock. We're supposed to be eating lunch. No, that's not in the Bible. Just when I started to say that, a couple people got up to leave, but I knew they had things going on. I wasn't after them. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, writing to Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. Now, every one of you that's saved, a while ago you was going around shaking hands and telling everybody, I'm so glad I'm saved. Every one of you that's saved has a gift of God in you. But you have to stir it up. You know, Brother John Miller years ago gave us an example I never forgot. He had a cup of coffee and it was he asked his wife to put a little sugar in it. Well, she put a couple spoons of sugar and he tasted it and she had already turned around. He said, this coffee still isn't sweet. Put some more sugar in it. She put some more sugar in it. Turned around. He did this, tasted it again. And he did that about three times and then she watched. And so she put more sugar in it and he picked it up and started to drink it. She said, John, you have to stir it up. So, you know, he told Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. He didn't say, go see Brother Doodad and get him to stir up the gift that's in you. He said, Timothy, you stir up the gift that's in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. That word means timidity. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. All right? That verse 7, verse 6, he said, stir up the gift. Verse 7, God's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love. You know, you got to be bold if you want to win too. Righteous are timid as a pussycat, right? No, the righteous are bold as a lion. God did not give you a spirit of timidity, holding back, can't do anything, poor me, little nobody me. But he gave you a power and love, and a sound mind. Now that's, if you're saved, and how many believe God gave you that? Power? How many believe, he said, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many believe God gave you supernatural, divine love? The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You have supernatural, divine love, love that can love the unlovable in you. I didn't say it's necessarily coming out. I said you got it in you. All right? He gave you, it says, a sound mind in the King James, but it really translates to discipline and self-control. That is discipline and self-control. All right? If you're saved and operating in what God has given you, he's given you all this stuff, you're not timid, I said, if you're saved and operating in what God has given you, you're not timid. Now, that don't mean you're obnoxious. It just means you're bold to do what God's told you to do. In fact, most people that are operating in the boldness of God do it in a gentle, loving, quiet way most of the time. And but if you're saved and operating in what God has given you, you're not timid. You have all the supernatural power. That's dunamis. Acts 1 and 8, you got it. You have all the divine love. That's agape, the God kind of love. And you have all the sound mind, discipline, and self-control that you will ever need. God put it in you. Okay? Now, verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What does that mean? That means that God's purpose that he wants you to do and the grace, supernatural power of God to do it, was given to you before the world began. So don't dare say, well, I feel like I ought to be doing this, but I can't do it. Can't, never could. So verse 9 says that you are called. You know what's called mean? If I call Scotty, you know what I'd say? I'd say, hey, Scotty, come here, I got something for you to do. All right? You're not called according to your natural abilities, but you're called according to God's purpose, and then he gives you the grace to fulfill the purpose. All right? I'll give you a little quick demo here. Let me see. Here, this is my daughter. I don't know how she's fixed today, but I'll just take a chance on this. Well, no. Let's see. She's probably got it. Well, how much money you got on you today? See if you can help me out. Don't count that. No. She's about to get her birthday money out there in that envelope. Less than 100?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. 4. Okay. If I said to you, Leslie, I need you to do something for me. I'm calling you. Leslie, I need you. Come here, Leslie. I need you to do something for me. I need you to run down to the store, and there's a certain item down there. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. Costs $95. Could you run down there and get that for me?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
I don't have enough money.
You ain't got what it takes, do you?
No.
All right, how about if, now listen, your birthday money's in that envelope. It ain't in here. How about if I whipped out this and said, Leslie, would you run down to the store and give me that item that costs $95 and take that with you when you go? How about that?
Got to keep the change.
Can you keep the change? All right.
Yes, okay.
What did I do? I not only called her. She didn't have in herself what it took to do the job, but I empowered her. I gave her the grace. This is grace, right? Grace will spend at the store, I'll tell you that. All right. If you would understand that's what God is talking about here, that he did not give you a spirit of timidity. Oh, I can't go to the store. Why not? Wouldn't it have been stupid after I handed her that $100 bill? She said, no, I can't do it. Why not? I'm poor. I don't have no money. What's that you're holding in your hand? Right? God has not given us a spirit of timidity and fear, but he has given us power, that supernatural, miracle-working power. In other words, I lay hands on the sick and they recover. Don't tell me. You know, I ain't been to medical school, honey, but I got something better than medical school. Right? He said he'll give me the ability to love folks that nobody else in the world will love. He said that he will give me a mind that can control itself and control me. And then, of course, if you like it other way, there's another verse of Scripture that says we have the mind of Christ. So that's pretty good too, right? And then he said, I've called you, but it's not according to your works, not according to what you can do, but it's according to my purpose and my grace in your life, okay? And then he said down in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Whereunto? Paul said, because of this message I just showed you right here, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles. As long as we got anybody, one person sitting in this church that is not living up to their potential in Jesus Christ, I'm going to keep preaching the Word of God and I'm going to keep teaching you what the Bible says you have to do. Okay? He said, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher. Well, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher. A preacher is, I wrote down the definition in case y'all don't know. The word in the Greek is K-E-R-U-X. In the Greek, it described a public crier or messenger or reader of official messages. In other words, what was a preacher? As a guy that could read and had a good set of lungs. Because this is before the day of the PA system. And the word preacher went back to this right here in the Greek culture. The guy that went out and said, "Hey, the boss wants everybody to come over here." So thank God for preachers. Every once in a while, I preach just a little dab. And what's an apostle? An apostle is a sent one. I believe God sent me here. If I didn't, I'd leave. I believe God sent me for this time right here, for this day right here, for this time right here. I believe He sent Brother Robbins here in 1980, 81 or whatever it was to fulfill a purpose. And I believe He sent me when He sent me. And I believe when I'm gone, He'll send somebody else, right? And so I'm your gift. I'm your gift. You ever get something Christmas, open it up and say, "Yeah." I'm your gift, honey. And he said, and Paul said, he's also a teacher. And teacher is the same word for doctor, by the way. Anywhere you see doctor in the Bible, it goes back to the same Greek word that is translated teacher. It's D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A, doctor, same word for teacher. The doctor, I started going to a doctor that started trying to help me learn some things. And he told me, he told me a doctor is a teacher. He said, that's what the word in the Greek means, is teacher. And he said, "I cannot heal you, but I can teach you how to live healthy if you'll listen to me." But sometimes it's by saying you need to quit eating this and you need to start eating that. Sometimes they said you need to get stress out of your life. If I'll listen to my teacher, the doctor, I can get better. Sometimes it is take this pill 3 times a day with food and take it till it's all gone. And somebody says, "I think I'll just take 1 a day between meals and take half of it and quit. You ain't going to get well." Why? You didn't do what the teacher said. You didn't do what the doctor said. Okay? So, I'm just trying to help us to open up a few things to understand here today. But I'm quitting now because I got one more verse, and that's verse 12. And it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, but I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him that day." Let me tell you something. God can do anything through you that you will let Him do. God can do anything through you that you will let Him go. Who's willing to pay the price of victory today? Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet.